Foster.
You know, we ask a lot of questions and we ask hopefully the right people, all the experts. This morning, it's a question around property. Okay. How has this pandemic, the lockdown, the way that we've been through this lockdown, how has it affected the property market, rentals, sales? If you want to buy, you want to sell, rent. Well, on the line this morning to help us answer those questions is Erwin Roeder, and he is from Roeder & Associates Property Consultants. Erwin, how's it? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for giving us your time.
It's a pleasure.
Firstly, how are you and your family? You good? You okay?
Yes, we are very cautious, it looks like so far it's been paying dividends.
That's good news. That's good news. Listen, let's just quickly start with the rental market. I mean, there's a lot of talk of some people being able to pay a rent and some people not. I've even seen reports of big companies giving the entire rental population of their building off, like a rental break for a couple of months. What has been the trend around rental in this lockdown period?
Yeah. You know, the practical problems that all economists face is that we don't have data as yet. In some instances, we will never have data because very few transactions are taking place, as you could imagine. For starters, the transfers couldn't take place of property selling. So it's now slowly starting up again, I understand. So those stats will start coming through, but very few would have been sold. As for rentals, we don't have hard data as yet. We are doing surveys as we speak, countrywide on this, my company, and we expect a drop in rentals, exactly for the reason that you've mentioned. You know, landlords are faced with a very stark alternative. Lose your tenant, and with whom do you replace the tenant? Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So this whole thing is going to be a give and take between landlords and tenants all over, especially in the shopping centres too, of course. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, people have made concessions, and also, obviously, I don't think there'll be increases necessarily in rental. And that kind of thing. And if you've got someone who's paying right now, just as long as they keep paying, and if they've been good in the past and there's a bit of a hiccup now, once again, it's better the devil you know, as you said. You're fine to replace them.
That sums it up pretty nicely. You could have been a property manager.
Slowly but surely, I'm working on it. Listen, okay, let's talk about the market. Is it a good time to buy? Because obviously interest rates are very down, are very good.
Yeah. Look, it's, but interest rates I don't trust. I mean, they could go up with a drop of a hat. So I wouldn't base my decision on the current level of interest rates. As for buying now, I believe the market will be very, very soft for a long time to come. This is not a normal recession. Remember, we mustn't forget that before the coronavirus struck, we were already in the second technical recession.
That's right.
So this is just a recession on top of a recession. Don't expect the unexpected, the impossible.
So there doesn't need to be a rush now. It's going to be like this for a while. The way it is now, it's going to be probably a buyer's market for a while.
That sums it up. The problem with a market like this is always that the seller is very slow to accept that the market is different now than what it was a year ago. Okay. So they're very slow in dropping their asking prices. That's in stark contrast to what happens on the stock exchange, say, you know, where buyers and sellers very quickly realize what the new reality is.
And if you want to sell your property, well, then you are stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. I mean, you're going to have to either lower your expectations or hang on a little bit longer. Not a great time to sell, right?
It's a difficult decision because, if you're highly geared and you are in deep trouble, then you will be forced to drop your price. So, and most of the sales, I suspect at the moment, next few months, will be related to forced selling. So I'm virtually sure that eventually our stats will show that prices actually declined. Mm. Now, in the worst recessions we've had in the past, prices declined for a short while up to 10%. 10% nominal terms, right? Mm-hmm. In some other countries, it's been worse for, in really bad recessions, 27% even. I read that the day in, I think it was in the UK, some, I don't know in which recession.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, tell me, when it comes to the kind of the type of properties, I'm guessing that the high end, the really expensive properties, there'll be a significant drop in price. But when it comes to a certain, let's say, the 1 million to 2 million market, for example, that might actually stabilize and possibly be even more popular because people have to adapt their budgets, no?
Well, that's an interesting argument. I'll never forget when I was a student, we were addressed by the then MD of Pep or Shoprite, I think. Yeah. But the group in any event. And he made that very point. He said, that's where they are placed. You know, in the bad times, people shop down, and in good times, they shop up from even below them. They're in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of argument. What I can tell you is that before this, the interesting phenomenon was that the higher the price class, the higher the worse that price class was performing. Okay. So the 10 million, 20 million houses, I mean, people were emigrating, and many of those buyers in that market are dependent on directly on what happens in the economy, like dividends and bonuses and things like that. So those were the worst affected. And as you go down the ladder, prices were performing better and better and better. By better, I mean maybe growing at 6% rather than 4% or 3% or whatever. So it's not that better, but it's still better. Because, and as you say, it's probably an affordability thing. What does worry me, though, is that when you go down to below a million, the banks have, for the past 3-4 years, they've been granting 100% plus bonds to that market. And boy, oh boy, when you lose your job, you're directly into negative equity. Well, before you lose your job, but when you lose it, then you've got to do something about it. And that's scary. Because in South Africa, you can't walk away from your debt. Like in some states in the U.S., for instance, you can't actually walk away. Just leave the keys to the house on the at the bank and say, sorry, guys, I can't pay. And off you go, and you only owe them the bond. And they can't... lay their dirty hands on, say, your motor car or your wife or whatever, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to know if anyone is on their way to America. Would you say,
South African wives are safer.
Well, there you go. That's good to know. Listen, just to quickly, finally, I mean, I know it sounds like a horrible question, but if you do have capital and you've got some funds and you were looking around to spend on, let's say, a holiday house, I'm guessing that a lot of bargains are going to come up.
For sure.
Because, that's the upside of a very sad situation sometimes. It's terrible.
No, there's no doubt about it. Cash is king now, and you can buy cash. The problem with gearing is that your returns on property is not going to be all that great over the next 5 years. After the sort of recovery from this virus-induced recession, for fundamental reasons. So gearing is not. If you have high gearing, your returns are not going to be all that good on buying now. I've been saying this for a long time, and I think it's still true. But if you have cash in the hand, if you can buy for cash, yes. You can buy bargains now, I'm sure.
Stalking. Listen, thanks for your chat. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it, Erwin. All the best.
Right,
cheers, man.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
With Martin Bester.
With Martin Bester. 6 to 9 weekdays.
Got a great show lined up for y'all.
Breakfast with Martin Bester.